Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the show that answers the question, do you have it? And no one else in the panel gets the reference. Thank you. It's kind of heartwarming that that show is getting revived.
Somewhat.
Yes. Anyways, let's meet the panel for tonight. First of all, we have the energetic, entertaining, and the person who took GSN Radio for $300 this week, Jason Block.
Good evening, good evening. I also was at... Thank you. I was also at the first independent appearance of one Stevie Richards this week.
Fun!
At Velocity Pro Wrestling in Philadelphia.
Awesome. And also on our delightful panel tonight, we have the vigorous, vivacious VRM.
All right, here's a question. Times Union TNA house show, yes or no? I'm hearing silence.
I didn't hear you.
What the heck?
What the fuck?
Hold on. Is that better?
Yes.
Not. No.
Maybe it's me.
Alright. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we have the nefarious Nikki Hayman.
Who now has new official work. Thank you. As I took an announcing job for Pro Training LLC in Cincinnati, Ohio, run by the nefarious Jimmy Wang Yang. Thank you.
Hello, Kitty.
I'm your boy. Then who else do we got here? Four for you there?
Yeah, the only cool thing I can say is I saw Tropic Thunder today.
I'm sorry.
No, don't buzz him. It's not a bad film. It's not like he went to see Death Race or anything like that.
Hey, be nice to Jason Statham.
Hey, I like Jason Statham. I think he's fantastic.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, our very own Dark Knight, DJ.
Hi, Mark, for not only Mike Adamley, but Mike O'Malley as well.
Yes!
I hear a win.
I admit, I was a fan of Get the Picture. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we had a very, very slow news week in wrestling. Aside from one fact, SummerSlam was this past Sunday, and boy, was it, okay. I mean, nothing really bad.
There was a lot of things bad, but there were three things about it that were very, very good.
I would throw in the Edge Taker Hell in a Cell match as being one of those things that were really, really good.
Not only just really, really good, try match of the year.
Yes.
Mm.
I mean, from everything from the way Edge looked in the cage, basically he was having an erection, and I don't mean that to be prurient. I mean, because he looked like he was having an orgasm when he was going into the cage. For real.
Jason,
no.
What's with you on this show? I mean, last week you talked about popping cherries, and then next week you're talking about Edge having an orgasm.
Well, I'm sorry. It is what it is. I'm sorry.
And who wouldn't mark out like an 8-year-old getting to work in a Hell in a Cell?
especially against the man, probably one of the best in Hell in a Cell, and that's The Undertaker.
And
okay.
In person, this match was very good. A bit slow at point. Live and in person, I was very impressed. This is the second Hell in a Cell I've seen live, and it had to measure up quite a bit to Triple H, Shawn Michaels at Bad Blood 04.
In which I finally got rid of that DVD.
And also the second good match, believe it or not, was Cena-Batista. They both worked their asses off in that match.
I had one objection with that match, though. It was a beautiful match. It had great psychology. It had great development. But it had a definitive ending. We're just getting started. This is the beginning of the feud, not the end of the feud.
Yeah, that's why me and Jason went with the no contest ending. I did not see, not only did it end, have an end, but it ended clean. How could that match end clean? I did not see that.
Well, I didn't see it either.
Shall we do the complete rundown?
Sure.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. U.S. Heavyweight title match. Jeff Hardy versus MVP.
Shelton's the U.S. champion. It was okay. It wasn't great. I thought the ending sucked, to be honest.
I found
Shelton,
a bit plotting.
Champion, I thought that match on SmackDown was for the title.
Yeah, but it was MVP versus, the match on SmackDown was for the title, because it was Shelton versus Hardy. This was MVP versus Hardy.
Despite Shelton's appearance near the end, I just thought the match was a little on the slow side. I thought they were protecting Jeff. I hadn't heard one way or the other about his neck or his elbow or whatever he happened to be hurting this week.
I believe it was fluid in the elbow. It didn't drain properly.
All right.
MVP won the match, and DJ was the only one who got that one wrong.
Damn.
And then we get to the intergender match, which was Kofi Kingston and Mickie James versus Santino Marella and the Glamazon Beth Phoenix, who have a new nickname, Glamorella.
Fine, I love that. Great stuff.
Digging it.
That's hot.
I have to say, it is making me laugh a little bit. I do like it.
And as most of us predicted, Santino Marella and Beth Phoenix walked away with the belts, except for, VRM got that one wrong.
Yeah. I wanted to change it, but, yeah.
That's right. You said, ooh, can I change it? Can I change it? Jason immediately popped in with, I don't think so.
No, but come on, when you make your prediction, you make your prediction. You got to stick with it. Unfortunately, they didn't do the Glamorella, Glamazon has the woman's belt yet, but they will.
Possibly. ECW match. Jeff Hardy.
What match?
Matt Hardy
versus Mark Henry.
I'll be all right.
You miss it.
Huh?
Blink and you missed it.
Yeah. Mark Henry got himself disqualified. Matt Hardy wins.
Anybody else think the ending didn't make a lick of sense?
No, not a bit. The whole thing didn't make a lick of sense. This was just Vince going F you to ECW. Sorry.
And fortunately for Forth and Block, they were the only guys that got that one right.
No, I actually thought that Matt Hardy, well, I said Matt Hardy would win, but I didn't say necessarily think it would be. I thought there would actually be a title change, but yes, he did technically win.
So that's why we give you the credit.
Oh, I'll take it.
I thought you would. Raw title match, Punk versus Gibble. Or Gerbil. Thank you, Capture Suplex Radio, for giving us that term. Attitude, that boy. quite a good match. Took some feeling out, but in the end, Punk pulls out the win.
I was a little surprised. When the two of them knocked heads mid-match, you saw that Punk stood up, and there's poor Gibbles twitching on the mat. I saw the ref put up a ref stick. Let's see. Who was running that one, Marty?
I think Marty Elias, yeah.
Yeah, there he is. And Marty gave the ref sex, and I'm like, oh, crap. You know, we just knocked Gibble out cold. Quick, Punk, cover him.
So then he starts yelling out incoherently, ball game, maggle, over and over.
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
It's one of his infamous commentary quotes. Ball game,
okay.
Maggle.
Oh, okay. Ball game. Yeah, okay.
BRM. No, Fourth was the only one that got that one wrong.
I really didn't like this match because, again, they're booking Punk as this champion who just gets wins out of his ass.
I didn't feel that way about this match. This was a clean win, which is what everybody's been asking for. Because the knockout was not part of the... It was definitely not part of the script.
Right.
No. Heck no.
And then we got the SmackDown title match, which is Triple H versus Great Khali.
You actually glossed over something that was actually one of the best parts of the show, which was the Jericho Michaels promo at the end of the first hour.
Well, if you were at home watching it, yeah, because we couldn't hear it in the arena.
What?
They didn't broadcast the sound?
No, it was the acoustics in Canseco are horrible. I could not hear Michaels very well, and I couldn't hear Jericho at all. I had a pretty good idea what they were saying, but even for where I was, fourth row spit side, I could not hear the whole conversation.
Okay.
I figured he was simply going to just say he was coming back and Unforgiven. But, I guess he pretty much is now.
Yeah.
Okay, so go on. You said the SmackDown title match. Go ahead.
We're just going to gloss. We should just gloss over this one because...
It was crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crap.
Triple H works hard, works his ass off, but even he can't even turn a good match out of the Great Khali. Yeah, Triple H wins. Everybody got that one right. Moving right along. Batista, John Cena. I believe we talked about this a few minutes ago.
I'll talk about it again, though, for those who didn't hear it. Batista and Cena worked their ass off in this match. This was surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good, and surprisingly, a prediction of mine holds up as Batista wins clean.
Damn that game, Genie.
I figured at least Cena would have gotten his foot on the rope to create controversy, but nothing.
By the way, Nikki found the Game Genie code. A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B. S.
I'll make sure to type that in later on my...
I can't help it. It's the only code that works on Batista.
Jeez. Abs.
Yes, infinite lives.
Sorry, I'm the only one over here looking at him, so.
There needs to be a little thing above his head that says cheat enabled when he walks down.
And then we get to Undertaker Edge. As Jason pointed out, match of the year.
Go ahead.
And I'll just get this out of the way. Everybody got that one right. Everybody said Undertaker would win.
Yeah, but I no, okay. How, Nikki, how did the Undertaker chokeslam to hell work live?
It took a lot of people off guard because we weren't expecting anything going through the mat. To be honest, when we first came in, we saw them working on the ceiling. Now, I don't know if you heard this at home, anybody who actually watched the pay-per-view, but after they went through the panel onto the announce table and did all their spots out there, the crowd turned on these guys because they were just walking back into the cage. We were expecting the Foley through the cage to the floor spot. The chokeslam, we weren't expecting to break the ring at all. And the fire...
Yes, We did hear the boos on the pay-per-view broadcast.
Okay.
It was loud.
We were not pleased, because if they were outside the cage, you're supposed to climb it. Or at least I thought that was the rule. Anyway, the going through the ring was a surprise. The flames was even bigger. That just caught everybody off guard. I think, you know, if you did not hear any screams on the audio, they must have turned us off.
But as Jason said, everybody, once this match gets up on YouTube, and I'm certain some people will have creative means to put this up on YouTube or Daily Motion, find it, watch it, favorite it.
The only complaint I think anybody's going to give is just when Taker did come back in to get Edge, the setup to do the chokeslam from hell took too long.
Yeah. Results. DJ, VRM. Had 4, which is good enough for dead last. Typho, if he's listening, he improved from dead last to a solid 5th place with 5. And 4th, Nikki, Jason Block, and myself tie with 6. Each of us got getting different matches wrong. No, not really. Both me and Nikki got ECW wrong. 4th got the Raw match wrong. And Block got Bat Cena wrong.
So if I would have actually said my choice of Batista, I would have won the whole damn thing.
Yes. You would have gotten the perfecta, but due to the draw, 4th retains the title.
Sweet.
What is this Vince Russo WCW BS?
Creative control card.
No. Ties always go back to the champion.
Yeah,
Triple H exploited that at least once.
Yeah, the Eric Bischoff thing with HBK at the. What was that?
It was Armageddon 02?
No, it was a Raw.
Oh, no, I know the match you're talking about. Okay. I was going to say, well, I thought it was a last man standing match where neither one of them answered the 10 count, so Hunter retained.
Yeah. Anyways, Oh, I just saw something here about Hugh Downs. Yeah, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Look at me. I put my Bluetooth away because everybody bitched.
I'm on
a cell phone. If you want me to really call in on a landline, I'll do that.
I'll try again.
Let me call back on the landline, all right?
All right. That was it.
Might have been. I need to find a place to post my pictures. I've got some spectacular stuff from this pay-per-view. I had the good fortune of having little kids in front of me.
Uh-oh.
People who actually knew when to sit down, short of a couple of guys just off to my right. For that, I had Bear.
You there, Jason?
Yes.
I still hear some humming somewhere.
But it's not as bad as before.
Okay.
Might be me.
You on a cell phone, BRM?
Yeah, probably me, because I first time I've called in with a cell phone because Skype's being a little bitch and I don't have a landline to call in on.
Gotta hate those cell phones. Let's talk about the pretty much the only news story today for this week.
Oh, by the way, what was wrong with Hugh Downs? Has he died?
No, he has not. It was just some ad for Hugh Downs.
Oh, okay.
Like his reports. He's, what, 85, 86?
Okay.
So if he dies, it wouldn't be too unexpected.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, let's talk about the big story of the day, which was, I'll say now, Gail Kim leaves TNA.
Interesting story. From what I was reading, that she actually left on very good terms. This was not a bad breakup on the TNA side.
That's
her contract had expired, and WWE made a generous offer, and she said, yeah, okay. So she's going to be put back in the Diva mix.
I hope on the Raw side, if it's on the SmackDown side, she'll probably be back at TNA before year end.
No.
Now, before that news broke, I was kind of worried that I might have had a hand in Gail losing her job.
Oh.
I haven't even told Seidelman this story. Gail Kim and Christy Hemme were doing autograph sessions in Indianapolis at Gen Con. These poor ladies were bored out of their bloody minds every time we went by there. Sunday, I was faced with a crisis as I had an extra SummerSlam ticket very unexpectedly. I went over to the autograph booth because I couldn't get a hold of anybody close enough by to drive to Indianapolis to claim this ticket and actually pay me for it. I went up to the booth and asked if either one of them wanted to pull a Robbie McAllister. And they both giggled, and they politely turned me down, and I understood.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't about to get anybody fired, but I was worried if the right ears heard the wrong thing, that just cost this young lady a job. So, Gail, if you're listening, I'm glad it wasn't that.
No. that's cool, though. That's awesome. But, no, so, you know, okay. So, if I may ask, where do you see Gail Kim fitting in, and do you think she will be a top star in the mix, booked-wise?
I see her on Raw, and yes. She'd be better utilized on Raw, mainly because the way I'm looking at things, they need another credible face wrestler, a face diva. Kelly Kelly is not it.
Okay.
So you have Mickey and Gail, and you have Katie and Beth Phoenix. That's a great mix all in itself. You could book a lot of good matches just with those four alone. Because all four of them have the talent. Admittedly, the weakest link to that thing would be Katie Lee.
Right.
But that's an experience thing.
Yeah, that's the experience thing. However, she's got Brother Paul, so that might cancel that out. And finally, Gail knows her way around a WWE ring, so... Plus, she's a former women's champion. Actually, if I remember correctly, back in 2004... Or 2003, whenever she debuted.
2003, Buffalo, New York. I was there.
First night, she won the belt.
In a women's battle royal that Jazz got injured, and I believe she was champion at the time, or was, you know, was a high contender for it.
Who got injured?
Jazz.
Jazz.
Okay.
But Gail won it that night. I was there.
Yep.
So she's been in the biz more than 5 years?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on, we got another caller. Caller, hello.
Really starting to get pissed off now.
Thank you, VRM.
But, no, I think Gail Kim needs to take the belt off of Beth Phoenix in that same sort of way. Make that shock. You know what I mean?
That'd be a nice little welcome back for her.
Maybe try to get the Spider Lady outfit out of Moolah's closet, out of Mae Young's closet.
That would be fun. And then Victoria would call copyright infringement.
No, wouldn't call it copyright infringement because Moolah's dead, and nobody even remembers the second last time they did that. Was with Luna Vachon back in the last Raw of 98.
I was making a reference to the spiders, personally, but...
Well, all I'm saying, and also, she was already at the FCW tapings earlier this week, and she was already meeting with Laurinaitis, and WWE has already re-trademarked all her names and all her stuff. So I think she's going to be back sooner than rather than later.
I say the Raw after Unforgiven.
Cool. I might actually be in attendance.
I think sooner than that, to be honest.
You think they could have her on by next Monday?
It wouldn't shock me. Would not shock me. Because WWE needs a little ratings boost, and to have Gail Kim on TNA last week, you know, put her on this week on the WWE side, boom.
Ooh, did TNA tapings go all the way through this coming week?
No, not this coming week.
Shoot, I wanted a Mark Mero.
Yeah, you mean like two tapings at the same time?
Yeah.
No. Wrong Ola. Not going to happen.
Darn.
Yeah, well, we can all dream,
can't
we?
I can't. I'm busy.
I know job interviews are this time of night. You're not busy.
But it's an interesting story. I mean, the fact that Gail Kim is going back to WWE is interesting because I really didn't think that the WWE really valued the women's division, but I guess they do.
Well, I think WWE has seen what TNA's done with the Knockouts division, like, ooh, we've got to start fixing that. Unfortunately, they already had the butterfly belt stuff. I think they've been talking about that since February, if you read the magazine at all. But now that they've seen what Gail can really do, because they kind of build her as a female Rey Mysterio, she got in the ring and tried to do all that and turned into a female Jeff Hardy, which isn't a compliment, by the way. But now that they can see what she can do and that she has the experience and the seasoning, she can come back. And we might even see that with Tomko, who, by the way, was sneaking around backstage at some WWE events in the last week or so.
That would be an interesting thing to see him as a badass heel against Batista and, say, John Cena, perhaps.
Just have him walk in to be himself, which is essentially because he's like a new generation Batista, which is what the vibe we were getting with him in TNA just before he took off.
And let me tell you something. He was improving his work rate big time in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be interesting to see Tomko 2.0 in WWE again. You know, never say never.
Nikki, do you have the Raw results in front of you? Or could possibly get them?
Yeah, give me 30 seconds.
Good, take over the show. I'll be right back.
Alrighty. if you guys, gentlemen, would just give me one moment while I go find my handy-dandy Raw results. Thanks. Courtesy of OOWrestling.com. Let's see. All you need to know, Raw and Brief. Here we go.
Before we continue, I hope Gail has more success than the last TNA defector of sorts to WWE.
Well, she'll be in shape when she gets there.
Who are we talking about?
Braden.
Somebody
Harris.
Named Braden Walker.
Oh,
I've never seen him before.
Oh, that one. Yeah, well, oops.
Let's see. What do we got from Raw? We opened with Chris Jericho coming out to very little fanfare and blaming Sean Paul for getting his wife punched out.
Which, by the way, again, great segment. Great segment. And, again, this segment also on Raw was very good as well.
Right.
It is his fault, to be fair. He ducked out of the way.
He should stand up for his wife. Let's see. What do we got? Our first match of the night didn't last very long. Batista found Paul Burchill, put in one code, and that was that.
But yeah, squashed him like the proverbial English roach, pretty much.
Which is a shame. I honestly thought Burchill was Intercontinental title material. They can put it on Kofi, they can put it on Burchill.
Agreed.
Adam Lee decides to disrespect Carlito by association in his attempt to interview Primo Colon. Is that Eddie Colon?
Yes, it is. It's Eddie Colon.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Carlito's younger brother, right?
Yeah. And he dissed both of them by saying, look at Primo Colon. Oh, wait, there's John Cena.
Well, the better interview came up. What do you want him to do? Sit there with a boring guy?
Well, we get 20 minutes of John Cena every week. We got a new guy standing right here. I want to know more about Primo. So, you know, he goes over, he talks to Cena, and Batista shows up. Dave's finished squishing Paul Virgil. So they exchange pleasantries and shake hands while I'm standing there saying, Dave, will you fucking turn heel already?
Exactly. Heel
since 2007. He jumps people from behind. He strikes first. He jumps them from behind. Isn't that a heel?
It's not heel enough. I want Dave kill. I don't want just Dave smash. I want Dave kill.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do it the way Jericho was doing it, by the way. Jericho's heel turn has been fantastic. Do it like that.
I'm loving it to the point where I'm actually starting to realize, hey, Jericho, he's doing such a good job with his heel turn.
Yep.
It makes me weak. Let's see, what do we got? Mickie James and Kelly Kelly over Katie Lee Burchill and Jillian Hall.
Yes.
I will skip over the part about Jillian Hall trying to sing Chicago.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even like Chicago when they're the ones singing.
There you go.
So, let's see. What else we got here? We had a squash followed up with Jamie Noble getting killed by JBL. But it was weird that the ref actually started to count. I guess he noticed that Noble was out cold and just stopped the match. Well, dude, you're one in. You may as well finish the count.
After what, three or four nasty clotheslines?
Well, I figured Jamie was a little more resilient than that. He's used to getting the crap kicked out of him by people two or three times his size.
To be fair, he was actually knocked out so he could go to the hospital instead of the showers.
True. Let's see, what else we got? Adam Lee comes out to talk about his new concept. Somebody told him about the Hardcore Battle Royal, and he said, cool, watch this.
And he explains this thing, which has actually now even gotten more convoluted since the explanation.
Well, it's because a lot of people are being real nitpicky about the interim champion aspect of it, you know, during the match.
Right. And also, there's the entrance is at 5 minutes a pop, which is going to be very interesting.
I get a feeling it's partly going to be about padding resumes, so they can say Cena's like a 4 or 5-time champion, or Batista's a 4 or 5-time champion.
No. You see, they do, the interim champions do not count as a championship of record. Am I correct, Nikki?
Well, we'll see about that. I've heard it both ways, and frankly, you know, the only person in the match that really needs that is Kane.
Yes, because the Raw Scramble people were Cena,
CM Punk,
of course,
Kane, Jibble, Batista, and Cena. Which tells me that Sean might have something to say to Mr. Jericho.
You might see. You think?
Just a hunch.
Yeah. It's about as obvious as a bomb coming at you, but you know what? I don't care. It's going to be fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it. I have my Unforgiven tickets.
Oh, you are going to, where is that?
It's going to be at the now known as Quicken Loans Arena, better known as Gund Arena in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, that's right. And you're a local, if I'm not mistaken.
That's 2 hours for me, and I'm good with that.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Not a bad drive.
That's what I love about Columbus. I'm 2 hours away from everything in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What else have I got? John Cena had his handicap match and took the tag team champions to school.
Poor DiBiase and Rose. I'm sorry. That's just BS. Absolutely.
If you listen closely, you can hear the Popeye music.
So you gotta know this is great for the world tag titles. The champions lose it 1 week, regain it the other, then the week after they lose to one of the people they beat. Just one of them.
So it's just sad. That really did frustrate me. Let's see. We get a quick video package supposedly that happened at SummerSlam the night before. Michael Cole went up to talk to Shawn Michaels about what happened to Rebecca.
I prefer calling her Whisper Michaels. It just sounds funnier.
And I've gotten some giggles that people that don't know their WCW history, some message boards refer to her directly as Whisper. And I saw a post said, I went and Googled that because I thought you were kidding.
Has it been that long already? I mean,
you realize it's been 8 years since WCW was even viable.
Dad.
The doors closed in 2001. The decline started in late 99. What do we have here? Sean. Huh?
Someone's calling me right now, so I'm going to have to call back in a minute.
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back.
No problem. Let's see. Yeah, Sean said he was going to at least go home and take care of his dear wife. And he wanted to say something else, but he just couldn't spit it out.
He was too upset.
I'd be upset, too. First of all, if I got punched in the mouth or if somebody punched Bear in the mouth. But, yes, then he gathered his wife and left. And it's, the announcers are saying, we have no more information because we're respecting the Michaels' right to privacy. When has that ever been relevant in wrestling? Seriously.
Never.
Thank you.
Okay, we've seen right to privacy. We've seen Val Venus's ass about to be chopped. Okay.
Right.
And we've seen Stone Cold Steve Austin invade Brian Pillman's house with a gun. Right to privacy.
Maybe this was the last right to censor job that Stevie did before they sent him out the door.
Pretty much, yeah. There you go.
Oh, what else we got? Oh yeah. Okay. Huh? Oh, that's my echo. Never mind. For some reason, Grisham talks to Punk about Jericho.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's right. That was our main event, which, of course, I should be ashamed of myself for forgetting.
Yep.
The fact that Punk is in his hometown, we were in Chris Jericho's debut town, and I'm talking 99.
Yes, believe me, one of the greatest debuts in wrestling history.
And I thought I was impressed with the bit of wrestling history we got in that main event.
Okay.
I thought it was a really good match.
It was a great match. It was a great match. Unfortunately, the wrong person won.
As we get back into the way things are booked for CM Punk, which is a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else did we have? Santino and Beth Phoenix come out. They won. Supposedly during the commercial break, they made an acceptance speech that is apparently on WWE.com. I have not gone to watch it. Has anybody here gone to see this?
No, but I've seen Santino's Casa this week, and it's very funny.
I can only imagine what they came up with.
There was some the part of it was there, and also a couple of the Chicago Cubs did a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Which was
fun. And I will have to look that up. Let's see. D'Lo Brown over Santino Marella in an Intercontinental title match, but it was a DQ. Santino retains. Things get kind of silly, and we end up down by the announce table.
Okay.
Let me see if I got that right. D'Lo ready for the lowdown. Beth sat in the ring and stood between the two men. D'Lo got in her face and told her to get to stepping.
Right.
Let's see. That drew the DQ. Santino shooed Beth away so he has D'Lo. D'Lo punches Santino in the face. Santino goes flying out of the ring right in front of Kofi. Santino took a swing at Kofi. Kofi swung back. Beth comes running over to get her poor plumber away from Kofi.
Pretty much. Her poor abused boyfriend, yes.
I'm serious. We need to get that man some overalls, and Beth Phoenix needs to dye her hair red. Anyway. And then we need to move Mark Henry to Raw and make him wear a tie.
I don't know the references, but I'll take it.
It's a Donkey Kong joke. Think about it.
Okay. Yes. Right. Right, right, right. Okay. I've thought about it, and I'm laughing. Okay.
Let's see, skipping the WWE 24/7 clip, which wasn't terribly classic because it was from 2002.
Overly got the future Stratus, which is never bad.
No, I'm not complaining about the content. I'm complaining about them calling it a classic clip. Let's see, yes. Kane decides to come out and be creepy. He has new music. That means a new push. Hopefully not more shitty storyline.
And by the way, strangely enough, the Kane segment was the lowest rated segment on Raw this week.
That's interesting. I thought Kane's speech was very intriguing, just the way he was verbally burying Mysterio, since it sounds like he has physically buried him already.
Yes, but he said he let him live, yes.
So eventually, I'm expecting at some point we are going to find Ray hanging from his ankle somewhere.
Okay.
Or tied up, tied to something. Or stuffed in a casket, dressed in a cheerleader's outfit. You never know the way the writers are with Kane.
Right.
Let's see. Kane says he broke Ray's spirit and probably wanted to finish him off. And then Dave said, hey, that's my little buddy you beat up, so now I'm going to beat you up.
Spears him, yeah.
Spears him. Kane chokeslams him back and says, I'm going to win the segment. because you forgot to use your game genie.
But that also set up the match, which is going to be the Madison Square Garden card tomorrow night.
Okay.
Which I will be at.
Awesome. And while you're taking that in, I will be in Erie, Pennsylvania, watching the SmackDown ECW shows. Edge has been pulled from the house show circuit for the weekend, probably longer, to sell his
chokeslam to house.
Timely departure from the mortal realm with a possible main event tag team of Undertaker and Triple H.
Wow. That would be fun.
And seeing that in the confines of the Erie Civic Center or the Canton Civic Center just blows my mind. I'll take it. I'm not complaining at all.
No. You next on Raw, I believe.
Let's see. On to our main event, Chris Jericho and CM Punk. Let's see. Cade wasn't a factor that I recall.
Not really, no.
Near the end. Just a little bit to get Punk to forget about the match for a second, but you're right. The wrong person won this match. Or if Jericho was going to win, Cade had to be a bigger factor, broken nose and all.
Oh, he has a broken nose for real?
It's my understanding he was the one who got a broken nose from one of Snitsky's last matches.
Okay.
I forget. All I know is that somebody busted Cade up, and that's why we haven't seen him doing much lately.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not trying to belittle this main event. It was an excellent match.
It was a very good match. Unfortunately, it was not, you know, the result. Do you really need to push Jericho Michaels any more than it already is?
Mm-hmm. Plus, we need to give Punk something to do as we work towards the pay-per-view.
True.
Kane and Batista getting in each other's faces will add excellent fuel to the fire for the scramble match.
True.
JBL spinning his wheels, but that's nothing new. And Cena seems to be between stuff because it sounded like he made his peace with Batista. For now. So, yeah, those two will be at each other's throats, and Batista will have to deal with Cena, then he'll have to deal with Kane. And JBL might sit and play possum and try to be the last one holding the belt.
Yeah, I don't mean to do anything, but we've got 13 minutes to cover three shows.
You're absolutely right. Now, I'm gonna need help with TNA, but I'll run through ECW real quick.
Yeah, okay.
We opened with an excellent six-man tag. Miz and his abs Morrison and his abs, Miz and Chavo, up against Super Crazy, Evan Bourne and Tommy Dreamer. All I know is this was a good match, but I was too busy stepping on my tongue because Evan Bourne and John Morrison in the ring at the same time drives me crazy.
Okay.
It's awesome. But the heels take it in a very quick action-packed match.
Oh, okay.
Ricky Ortiz. I am discovering more and more about this guy. He is definitely the John Cena of developmental. He's not the greatest guy in the world, but boy, can he promote himself.
Who, Ricky Ortiz? Ricky Ortiz you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ricky apparently went into the arena early and put some of his terrible towels on seats so that they could get a shot of an entire section waving his silly little towels, because I know WWE ain't selling them yet. He was promised a new opponent, and he got OVW call-up Sean Spears, debuting as Gavin Spears, who I will let you guys know is an awesome heel. Give him a microphone, give him 6 minutes, and he will make you hate him thoroughly. Ortiz ends up taking him out with a splash in the center of the ring called the Big O. It's better than his backslide, that's for sure. Ortiz remains undefeated.
I'm back.
You're back?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, let me just finish this up real quick. Finlay tries to get Mike Knox to fight him. It hasn't happened yet. We're getting there. Although they did have a nasty little pull apart. We didn't have an official match. The quick main was the Mark Henry and Matt Hardy match, which a lot of people are saying would probably be match of the week. We didn't know that Mark Henry really could wrestle. This was the match that should have been at SummerSlam.
Absolutely, without question. It was great. It was very good.
So if they had reversed these, I think I would have enjoyed SummerSlam even that much more. All right, who wants
and
to do TNA?
I would have got the perfecta.
I did.
Talk to me.
Don't really remember much from the opening. Actually, I don't really remember much from the thing at all. Sure. Only thing I remember really is the main event.
I have the results right here. Kurt Angle arrived, and he wanted a chair.
Yeah. And he basically all but said Jarrett. He said he knew and everything.
And the first match, we have Hernandez beating Robert Roode in a decent match. And then we go to AJ with Kurt Angle's medal. And AJ pretty much says there's going to be a ladder match. Kurt Angle is being held back by three people. So it's going to be AJ Kurt Angle for the gold medal.
Styles needs to be careful because it seems like anybody that beats Angle for those medals is cursed.
Eric Young and BG James beat Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. After the match, Sabin spits in his hand and basically slaps BG James, and then there's a pull apart. Then there's a dressing room with Booker and Kurt talking about Sting, and then we go to Karen's angle with SoCal Val. There's another pull apart between Jay and Sanjay, which was really very well done. Then there was a Consecration Creed rough cut, Matt Morgan versus Frankie Capone. And then there was and then Brother Ray comes out and bitches out Matt Morgan. And then Bubba Ray and Devon basically beat him up, but Abyss comes in and helps them back. And then we have a Mike Tenay and Kevin Nash interview, which really doesn't matter. Lauren talks to Angelina Love in Velvet Sky, and Angelina Love is going to face Taylor Wilde with No Surrender. And then Kip James helps to attack Taylor. They're going to give a belt the makeover. Booker T is the first person to qualify in the Four Ways to Glory match. Lauren does an interview with Gail Kim. And we have another great Petey Williams Consequences Creed X Division match. And Consequences Creed wins by disqualification.
And then Petey gets pissed off at
Sheik Abdul Bashir.
Yes.
Mainly because Petey was
about ready to do the old Canadian Destroyer.
I also, Jeremy Borash interviewed the Infection. Super came in and accused them of crimes against rock and roll. Lance Rock whacked Sharp Boy of a guitar to.
You all right?
And
you okay, Seidelman?
No.
Do we need to cut this early? Robert?
Rob? Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Bob, Robert.
Come on, Seidelman.
Where are you?
Wow.
Rob?
Rob? Rob?
Come on, Solomon.
I'll tell you guys tomorrow. I can't do this tonight.
It's cool, man.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's it.
Sorry about that.
Take over for the last 5 minutes.
The boss needs time.
Okay.
Finish the show.
Hold on.
There's only about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys about it tomorrow via IM. Or if you want to call me. It's kind of hard to say right now.
I understand.
Bye.
Well, if you guys got the rest of TNA, I can walk through SmackDown pretty quick.
Okay, let me just get through SmackDown. I can get through it. Awesome Kong defeats Gail Kim in a street fight. Gail's sister comes in. And then you have the main event with the Kurt Angle about to win the street fight, the ladder match. When the lights go out, guitar goes on. And AJ hits Kurt Angle with the guitar and wins the gold medal. Correct? Pretty much?
You got me, man. I didn't see the
okay.
show.
Okay. Let's go through SmackDown quickly in the next 5 minutes or so.
You got it. Vicky came out first to apologize to the entire crowd for all the crap that's happened over the last few months. She blames Edge for everything. She mentions that she's going to do a title scramble for the just like Raw is doing, but we're having qualifying matches throughout the evening. We get back to that a little bit later when we go into a Divas match where Maria gets a DQ win over Natalia thanks to Maryse. Short and simple. I will say this. I missed about half a SmackDown because I was on the phone. So I'll do my best here. We set up a 10-man battle royal for one of the spots in the scramble match. They put in the Brian Kendrick, Super Crazy, the Clones, Jimmy Wang Yang, Vladimir Kozlov. I don't have their new names in front of me, but Colt Cabana and Jay Bradley were also involved. Big Show came out to watch for a little bit.
Ryan Braddock is the guy's name, I believe.
Okay, thank you. I've got to update my website. Show came in and threw most of the guys out of the ring and then climbed out thinking he won because he threw Kendrick over the ropes, but Zeke caught him. Since Show wasn't involved in the Battle Royal, he couldn't have won the spot anyway. Let's see. MVP gets a countout win over Festus to earn his spot. Apparently, a bell rang somewhere during a spot outside of the ring, and Festus just stopped. So MVP's like, okay, I'll take it. Let's see. Shelton got his spot in the scramble by beating Finley.
Good match, by the way.
Huh?
Good match, by the way.
What I saw of it was very good. Shelton celebrated that, then Mike Knox came out and stomped on Finley some more. And I think he even got his hands on Hornswoggle briefly. Let's see. Triple H came out to watch Jeff Hardy versus the Great Khali. He had a minor role in that by swatting Khali upside the head for being a dink. Jeff Hardy taking that pinfall. Hunter then comes to the ring and just puts everybody else on notice about the match. You guys may all be great, but you haven't been in the ring with me. Kenny Dykstra comes out. Huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, not just any Brian Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick.
That was a great line.
True.
Great line.
Hunter made his promo. Kenny Dykstra came out and ate a pedigree. Vicky wanted to do her formal apology. Undertaker came out and said, I want your soul, and it just broke down from there. And it's midnight, gentlemen, so
For the North American Wrestling Connection and Rob Seidelman, Nikki Heyman, VRM, myself, Jason Block, we'll talk to you next week.
Sorry about the mess.
Right. Good night, guys.
See you.